Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We've heard the word this morning of that describes what Jesus did and which we will participate in just a few minutes. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus with eagerness, as Luke records it, and it's one of the last acts that Jesus does before he's arrested, betrayed, and he's reviled, and he's brought before a variety of people, Pilate, who finally condemns him to death, and he's delivered over to the Roman soldiers for crucifixion. So open your Bibles to Luke 20, 21, and let's look just a few comments there about that passage. And about what, I want to talk about what the Passover was and how Jesus changes that. And I want to talk about covenant and what this new covenant that Jesus says will be fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. Because what Jesus is doing here is something that is, it's a shift in the Passover meal. That's why we don't call it Passover, we call it the Lord's Supper. And it's a shift of the meaning, and Jesus assumes something here that is a major change here. The Passover itself is a normal part of what the Jewish had done for 1,000 and more years, for centuries and centuries. It was instituted by Moses, of course, in the land of Egypt. They're slaves. And as they go through these plagues, God is trying to convince Pharaoh to let them go. Pharaoh says no. They go through these plagues. And finally, the last plague is this terrible plague of death. The eldest is going to be killed in each family. It's a terrible kind of thing. Far worse than some flies hanging around, buzzing around, that would have been bad enough. But this is now very, very serious. So they were supposed to take this, prepare themselves, get ready to go, and they were supposed to take a lamb and slaughter the lamb and eat the lamb as the last meal there before they left slavery and go into this new land that God was going to give them. They're supposed to take a little bit of the blood, dab it up on the wall, and many of you would know this story of how this was supposed to happen. So that's the Passover, right? And they did it now for centuries and centuries, had been doing this as thanksgiving to God for delivering them from slavery in Egypt and for this new covenant of Moses on Mount Sinai that just 40 days or so later that they had participated, their forebears had participated also. So this was the Passover was a reenactment of this old history of what had happened 1,000-plus years before. It was a covenant that had been written down by Moses on Mount Sinai. This is Passover was part of all of that. Now, covenants were common in those days, and they still are. A covenant in those days were this process of trying to fix the conflicts and the problems, and even sometimes war among families, between tribes, and between nations. And so the covenant would be a result of people with real issues, real problems that they had to solve in their life, trying to solve them. And so they're written down in those days, like we'd still do today. And in the part of the covenant process, too, was you took an animal and you slaughtered the animal at the end. You slaughtered the animal and you roast this animal as the main course of a meal that these conflictive, warring parties, people, tribes had with each other, and you ate together. So that was an integral part. And the eating of this animal that had been slaughtered was kind of like the last thing. It was like what guaranteed it. And in fact, the covenant usually had not just blessings on those who would keep the covenant, but it had curses. And part of the curse usually was something about, if I don't keep the terms of this covenant, may what happened to that animal happen to me, right? So it was a very kind of dramatic, kind of like, you know, you this is serious business, kind of a thing. So the Passover and the covenant with God are wrapped up and wound up together. But here's the thing. This is what Jesus says in Luke 22. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he says, I tell you, I will not eat this Passover again until I eat it with you in the kingdom of God. So the Passover looks back at this ancient thing that was set up in the time of Moses. But Jesus is here saying it's looking forward to something called the kingdom of God, which is going to be in the future sometime, when this thing is going to be fulfilled, when we will know, when we will live in this covenant completely, without the sins and the issues and problems that hold us back today. So this is, you know, to use the big word that theologians use, it's eschatological. You know, it's like the end times. It's like this is what the kingdom of God is going to be like, and when it comes, then we'll really eat the real meal together. The real Passover will be fulfilled then. So Jesus is dramatically changing things here. And what we're doing this morning is different. I mean, if we would go to a Jewish home where some Jews still do reenact the Passover, right? And there are people right here in Harrisonburg we could visit. But what we're doing here today is different from that. It's the same in some ways, but it's very different also in other ways. So what Jesus' claim is that he is fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of the covenant. Now the Jeremiah reading, if you paid attention to that reading that Ella read in Jeremiah, Jeremiah also is saying it's going to be a new covenant. Jeremiah says, the Lord says, I'm going to put a new covenant. And what's different there in Jeremiah is that it's not going to be this written covenant that is, you know, and you're going to slaughter a lamb and eat the lamb. It's going to be right in your hearts, right in the interior of who you are. The fundamental identity and the fundamental sort of the center of your being is going to be this covenant with God. That's what Jeremiah is saying. The days are coming. It's not now, he says, but the days are coming when we're going to do that. Now, we who believe in Jesus believe that Jesus comes and begins to fulfill that covenant in a kingdom, in a rule, in a reign, in a people that will have this covenant in their hearts. Now that's us. That's you. That's me, right? That's us. Right? That's what we do today. We affirm, we reestablish, and we sort of nail down again this fact that we believe in Jesus, and we believe that God is calling us to live in these ways, right? Jesus uses this Lord's, what we call the Lord's Supper now, the Passover, as the inauguration, as the first step, as the beginning point of this now new renewed covenant that Jeremiah talks about and that Jesus says, I'm here. Jesus is the Messiah, right? I'm the Messiah. I'm fulfilling this, and we're this starts now. But then do you notice what else Jesus says there? He says, I eagerly desire to do this before I, remember what he says? Suffer. So what is this all about, right? Remember how covenant had the animal, right? The animal suffered, right? Was killed and so forth. Jesus is pointing to his own coming suffering as being like the guarantee of this new covenant. Ann and I bought some property a long time ago, bought a house. And to do that, the bank, you know, is a bank going to just give you money? Here's $50,000, here's $250,000 to buy. No, you have to have some sort of guarantee, right? You got to show them that you're working, that you earn money, maybe you have some other money to put down. The bank has to say, you know, I'm a trustworthy, you know, Ann and I are trustworthy people to give money to, right? If we can't, but we just can't march in there and say, we're trustworthy people. No, that doesn't work, right? So we have to show them something concrete and specific that, yeah, we're trustworthy people, we got a job, and so forth and so on. That's how covenants work, right? And so Jesus is like that down payment, that trustworthiness, that this covenant. God is serious about this. God is so serious about this covenant that God came as a human being, see? God didn't just say, well, we're going to do this. Jeremiah, you go tell everybody it's going to be in your heart. No, God came as a human being with flesh, with real flesh, you know, and experienced the human experience, the good and the bad and the ugly of the human, your experience and my experience. See, God, that's the guarantee that Jesus is saying, this is why you can trust this, because I am God and I have come to do this. Turn to Revelation 21. There's this wonderful passage in Revelation 21. John, of course, is on this island of Patmos. And John, in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1, it says, I see a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the new earth have passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look. And if you compare this with the Jeremiah 31 passage, it's similar language. There's a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And in verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that's what Jeremiah said back in chapter 31. I will dwell with them and I will be their God. So this is a fulfillment. This is a picture of the fulfillment of this covenant. That Jesus is saying, I greatly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is the desire, the great desire of God to come to us, to live with us, and be the fulfillment of be the guarantor of this covenant that we look forward to. We begin living in it now, but we look forward to this fulfillment in a time, in a future time that we don't know, haven't experienced yet, but that is coming, we believe. So listen, everyone, as we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, this is the hope and the reality in which we live, in which we do this. So let's continue to share and to worship together as we celebrate and participate in this Lord's Supper, looking at the symbols that we have here, the bit of juice, the bit of bread that we will share together. May it feed our souls, because this is God, this is what God in the flesh has done for us. And we can look forward to the promised final redemption that God has promised us.